before we got to Tin and Tough. But now I guess many of the topics come together that we've seen. So I'd like to first begin with a basic chakira about how we look at Shabbos vis-a-vis Avelos. And I think you could look at it in two ways. One is it's like Chol, except that you're not Noeg Vam Shebefar Hesia. In other words, Avelos continues, it counts towards the Sheva and the like, and in theory all Avelos would count, but there's a din that we shouldn't be Noeg Vam Shebefar Hesia, so therefore whatever's Far Hesia we don't do. Or the second possibility is that it's fundamentally different. Yes, we might in the end of the day hold that there is some type of Avelos on Shabbos, but it's a fundamentally different type of Avelos than during the week. Now, the Gemara in Moed Katan and Daf Chaf says, HaShomei Shmua B'Shabbos O B'Regel, and let's say Shabbos, and on Motzei Shabbos it's going to be a Regel. Okay? So, or would be a Shmur L'Choka. Let's say we'll do a simpler case, right? Motzei Shabbos is going to be a Shmur L'Choka, meaning to say, day 30 is Shabbos, so we know the halacha is, we'll talk about that a little later, that if a person finds out that a relative died within 30 days, so then they sit Shiva and Shloshim and the like. If they find out after 30 days, they're just Noeg Avelos for 1 second, or as Bezalel would point out, they do one Niug Shel Avelos, and that's it. So what about the following case? What about where Shabbos is day 30? So if we say that there should be Noeg Avelos on Shabbos, so then that would be day one of Avelos, and you'd have another 6 days of Avelos afterwards. It would be full Shiva and Shloshim. If we say that you can't do Avelos on Shabbos, so then basically Avelos would be day 31, but since day 31 is after the 30-day period, so then it would be a Shmur V'choka, and you only do Avelos for one moment, and that's it. So the Gemara tells us that actually Einu Noeg Avelos El Yom Echad, meaning to say that the Avelos that you do on Shabbos doesn't count, isn't considered Haschalas Avelos, and therefore the Haschalas Avelos is really day 31, and it has the din of a Shmur V'choka. And that's true, even though, again, we say it's very surprising halacha, because we know that we're knowing that Dvam Shabbatzin on Shabbos, and it's Ola L'Shiva. So it's true, you can't do everything on Shabbos. There are many things you don't do on Shabbos, but L'maisa, we're knowing Avelos on Shabbos. So why is it that if we're knowing Avelos on Shabbos, that isn't considered day one of Avelos, and therefore this should have the din of a Shmur Krova? So the Rashba answers in a tshuva that it's inconceivable that the thing that's nigrar is going to be more chamor than the source. Like, lo yehi tafel chamor mina ikar. Meaning to say, let's say we were to go ahead and we were to count Shabbos as day one, and memela Sunday, which is day 31, would be day two. Now, what would you do on Sunday? On Sunday, you would have Tfiyas Hamita, Natifas HaRosh. But on Shabbos, what would you do? Shabbos, you might have an Ilas HaSandal, you might have Issa Rechitza, the Dvam Shebetzina, but how could Sunday, which is day one, and therefore considered Nigrar, which is also very fascinating in terms of the Lamdas of Shmua, but Sunday, which is Nigrar, be more Chamor than Shabbos? That's what the Rashba answers. So L'chora, what the Rashba is saying is that the second side of the Chakira is correct. Meaning to say that Shabbos is fundamentally different. It's not the pshat that Shabbos is Avelos continues like Chol, but there's this technical aspect that there are certain things you can't do on Shabbos because you can't be Mefarsim your Avelos on Shabbos. No. If that were true, this halacha wouldn't make any sense at all. L'mashal. Let's say a person finds out day 30 that he lost a relative. And because he's Baderech, so he can't be Choletz Min Alav, right? So he's not Choletz Min Alav. And then the next day, is day 31. So do we say, so no, it's going to have the din of a Shmua Rechoka because Lo Tehei Ha Nigrar Chamor Min Ha'ikar, and since he couldn't be Noheg Nilas Asando on day 30, so Memela. No, of course we wouldn't say that. We would say, okay, you couldn't do certain aspects of Avelos, because you were Bederech, but you were Chayv in Avelos, and you did, everything you could do. And the next day is going to be day two. But on Shabbos, we don't say that. And what that points to, I think, is that it's not just the pshat, that Shabbos, you do whatever you can do, and certain things you can't do because of farhesia, but it's fundamentally the same. I think what that shows is that Avelos on Shabbos, whatever it is, and we're going to try to figure out a little more what it is, but it is fundamentally different. Now, there might be a third Mahalich, actually, in the Mordechai. The Mordechai, which is quoted in Simon Taf Beis Sif Yud, in the name of the Ram Me Inglatira. I don't know if that was England. Is Inglatira England?
Yeah.
It's in England.
I think
so. Okay, there we go.
Yeah, that's what
So that's how you say England in French, Inglaterra.
I'm with that.
Okay, there we go. So the Mordechai, in the name of the English Ram, says like this: Tzarech Iyun Shmur Krov on Shabbos Erev HaRegel. If Shabbos is Ola Lo Keshiva or not, right? Meaning to say like this: we know always that that Shabbos counts as Shiva if it's before the Regel, right? Not Shabbos counts, Erev Regel counts as Shiva, right? Usually you don't do Kfur on Shabbos, so this wouldn't be relevant. But let's say you had a Shmur Krov on Shabbos, which is Erev Yantif. So counting towards the Shloshim, do you count Shabbos as Shiva or not? So he was unsure. The Mordechai, in the name of the Maharam and the Rivam, and this is the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, says, no. That since you're noeg avelos on that Shabbos in terms of Dvarim Shabbatina, it's Ola Laminyan Shiva. Okay? So, Tzachian, because we just said before that the avelos Shiva Shabbos wouldn't do it. So, how do we explain this? So, listen to how Rav Meir explained this halacha. This is the regular Rav Meir Rottenberg, not Rav Meir in England. This is how Rav Meir Rottenberg explained halacha. That since it says Hashabbos Olav Einam Afsekes Regalim Afsekim Einam Olav Afal Gav Tetavayu Shabbin Linyan Avelus Tetavayu Dram Shel Tzina Noeg. Right, we know Shabbos and Yantif, the way we paskin, you basically do the same things, except that Shabbos is Ola Veinu Mafsek, Yantif is Mafsek Veinu Ola. Vafilo Achit Nana Shabbos Olav Vel Neinam Olim Im Kain Ola L'chol Davar L'kula Amrinan De Ola V'lo L'chomra Kigon Shamash Mor Krova V'Shabbos U'Lemotzi Shabbos Nasa V'Choka V'Shabbos L'Reg L'Kula U'Limos Achol L'Kula. Very fascinating idea. How does the Maharam explain this din? Again, what's the halacha? The halacha is, let's say it, right? The halacha is that if you go ahead and Shabbos is day 30 and you find out a Shmuel on day 30, so we say that basically is a Shmuel Rechoka, right? In other words, we don't say the Nihuge Avelos on Shabbos will count. But the Maharam says also if Shabbos is Erev Yantif, it'll count for 7, even though all you have is Dvarim Shebetzina. So what's the pshat? It's a stira, right? Stira, it doesn't make any sense. Says the Maharam, yeah, of course it's a stira. It doesn't make any sense. We're inconsistent. How do we treat Shabbos? Our perspective on Shabbos is it has the most lenient possible perspective. And you see that already, he says, from the fact that we treat Shabbos and Yantif totally differently. Even though, with respect to Nihuge Avelos, Shabbos and Yantif are the same. Right? In both cases, you're noeg Dvarim Shebetzina, not Dvarim Shefarhesia. But we treat them totally different. That shows us, that teaches us, that Shabbos we look at in the lenient, most possible way, even though it's inconsistent. So therefore, if saying Shabbos is Avelos on Shabbos is sort of non-Avelos is going to lead to a Kula, and therefore make this a din of a Shmur Rechoka, so we do that, right? And if we're going to say Avelos on Shabbos is a Kula, i.e. so it counts a 7 to reduce your Shloshim, then we'll say, oh, it is Avelos, right? Whatever is more lenient. If you want to treat Shabbos as actually a day of Avelos, and that's a Kula, for example, that allows it to count towards 7, then you treat Shabbos as a day of Avelos, because that's the Kula. So, yeah. Yeah, so we're going to get to that a little more, how he's going to get to that. That's a good point. But let's just, first what he says explicitly, right? He says explicitly, like this. So when Shabbos is a Kula, i.e. to turn it into a Shmur Rechoka, so then we'll say, yeah, Shabbos is non-Avelos. Okay, yeah, you're Noeg Dvarim Shebetzina, but it's not really Avelos. So therefore it's going to be a Shmur Rechoka. When counting Shabbos as Avelos is a Kula, i.e., to count it towards seven. Say, oh, this is, you're doing Dvarim Shabbatina. This is Avelus. It's going to count towards 7 days, towards the Shloshim. In other words, whatever is the Kula, that's what we're going to be Tofes. Okay?
What's this Raya on this?
So, it's not, I don't know, a Raya or a Dimyon. His Dimyon is the fact that we treat Shabbos, Nihuge Dvarim Shabbatina, on Shabbos as being Ola L'Shiva, but on Yantif, not
Gemara.
Well, that's we know right. That Yantif.
So the Shabbos, if Shabbos is the first day, it's Ola L'Shiva?
No. That's our question. That was the yeah. Suffolk.
And based on this Siddish, he is Mechadish that Kula.
He's saying that, yes. Saying from what we know about Shabbos, we see that we're not consistent about how we view Avelos Shebitzina, being Noheg, and Avelos Shebitzina not being Noheg. We're not consistent, right? For example, we treat it differently on Shabbos and Yantif, right? Even though Halach L'maisa, they're the same thing, but we treat them very differently. So he's making a jump, right? But he's saying that that's I guess, Mahalich number three, right? So our question was, again, is Shabbos... the Chakir we started off with is, how do you view Nihuge Avelos B'Shabbos? Do you view them as, you know, regular Avelos, like B'chol, except there's certain things you can't do, or do we see it as fundamentally different? So if you ask the Maharam, the answer is, whichever you want. If you want to look at it, if it's going to lead to a Kula as saying this is not really Avelos, so then you could look at it that way. If it's going to lead to a Kula saying, no, yeah, this is basically Avelos, just you can't do a couple of things, then we'll look at it that way. Now, the Bach, the fourth possibility here, is the most interesting of all views, though we don't accept this view of Halacha, but it's the most fascinating, which is like this. The Bach says, it's quoted by the Shach and the Taz in Siman Tuf Beis, the Shach Tuf Beis, hey, he's the most fascinating idea. He says that if Chal Yom Shvi'i B'Shabbos, right? Let's say the seventh day of Avelos is on Shabbos. For example, the Kfor is on Sunday. I think that's probably the most common thing, right? Because they're more Levi is on Sunday than any other day of the week. Why? So hopefully it's not because people, you know, are off from work anyway. It's for a different reason. It's because if there's a backlog from Shabbos. In other words, if somebody died Friday, except, you know, you can't have the Levi and also on Shabbos. So Sunday's the busiest Levi day. Great. It's good for rabbis. Now, So if Sunday is the first day of Shiva, so then when does Shiva end? On Shabbos, right? So, what does the Bach say? The Bach says, you know when Shiva ends? When Shiva ends on Shabbos, actually, you know what you have to do? You have to do a little bit of Avelos on Motzei Shabbos, i.e. Day 8. Why? He says, because even though it's Ola L'Shiva, there's really no Nihuge Avelos at all. Right? It's true. In other words, he takes that Chakira, right? The second side of the Chakira, which is that even though there are certain things you do on Shabbos, this isn't fundamentally Avelos. It's not fundamentally Avelos. To its extreme, he says, well, if this isn't fundamentally Avelos, we know there's a rule. Right? What's the rule? When does Avelos end? So it's true, on day 7, we say Mixiyom Kekulo, but we don't just say Mixiyom Kekulo. We say that you actually have to be Noheg, a little bit of Nihuge Avelos, on the seventh day in the morning. And the way we practice this is by waiting for the Menachemim to leave. Right? So, on Shabbos, there's no such thing as Avelos. So, in order for the Shiva to end, you have to do some Avelos. Since you can't do any Avelos on Shabbos, you do it on Motzei Shabbos. So, you end Shiva on the eighth day of Avelos. That's the Psak of the Bach. Unbelievable. So we don't accept this. We already talked about this before. When did we paskin? The Ramah has this very interesting chumrah that Avelos ends on Shabbos. Really, it should end at Netzach Hama. Because nobody, assuming that Menachemim don't come to you on Shabbos. And we saw the chumrah, the Ramah, that you wait till after. They would generally come during the week, and we discussed the Pnei Yeshua and the like, to accept that or not. But we certainly don't accept the Bach, that the Avelos actually continues into Motzei Shabbos. But even here, you could be choker. Why do we reject the Bach? Is it because we think that there are Nihuge Avelos Shabbos, or no? Really, you don't need to end Avelos with Nihuge Avelos B'Yom Shvi. Really, Mixiyom Kekulo would apply on its own automatically with Netzach Hama and the like. But anyway,
why can't it just be that Maisa, you can't go so far with
Right. There's no such thing as Avela as post-Shiva. You could say it a bunch of different ways. But again, what...
I mean, Malayas is all the Shiva, so how can you tell me that it counts as, like, absolutely nothing?
That's... So what the Bach is saying is it counts as a number... And the reason is, it counts as a number because, you know, after all, like the Ramban says, every Shiva by definition has to have a Shabbos, so therefore it has to count as a number. But there's no Avelos on Shabbos. You can't do Dvarim Shiva Tzinah, but it's not really Avelos. So again, already the Rishonim might take that approach. He just takes it two steps further.
How do you disagree with the Bach without disagreeing with saying it's not avelus?
You could say it's not avelus, but mixes a yom kikulo and avelus without any niyuge avelus. It just avelus expires on shvi, and it expires after netzacham on shvi. Altmixes a yom kikulo. It could happen in your sleep, right? And that's really when avelus ends. Okay, we have this chumrah that we wait till Menachemim leave. And the Rama extends that Chumra even theoretically into Shabbos and the like. But it doesn't mean, maybe you don't need Nihuge Avelos. And you might, you know, and you could say that the Bach's position anyway doesn't make sense because you can't sit Shiva on Shmini. It's all you're talking. There's no, the Bach's conclusion is totally, even if you argue, accept his argument, but still you can't sit Shiva on Shmini. It doesn't exist. Okay, so now let's talk about the basic question, which we just alluded to, and one which we've already discussed a number of times, which is the idea that Shabbos is olav eino mafsekes, right? So why is that? So the Yerushalmi, which the Ramban quote says, because it's eifshar l'shiva below Shabbos, and if you were mafsek, you would never have shiva. And therefore must be that it's olav eino mafsek. Now, the question is, why do we treat it differently than regel? Because regel, we say, is mafsek, right? Now, if you learn like the Rambam, why is regel mafsek? Because of simcha. Fine. If you learn like the Rambam, that it's not shayach nihuge avelos on regel at all, for example, if the kvura was on the yantif or on chol moed, you wouldn't have even vrem shibitzina. So then we understand very easily why it is that Shabbos and Yantif are different. Shabbos is Ola ve'eno mafsik because you're knowing Nihuge Avelos Betzina. Yantif is Eino Ola because there's no Nihuge Avelos. If there's no Nihuge Avelos, it's not Ola. Right? So if you learn like the Rambam, and why aren't they Nihuge Avelos? Because of the Mitzvah Simcha. If you learn like the Rambam, it's very easy to understand why Shabbos and Yantif are treated differently. But once you learn like the Ramban, that both on Shabbos and on Yantif there is Avelos Betzina and not Avelos Befarhasi. In other words, the notion of Avelos Betzina isn't a stira to Yantif and Simcha and the like. So then the question is, why would we treat them differently? Why wouldn't we say that on Yantif also it's Ola Ve'eno Mafsik? After all, you could observe Nihuge Avelos Betzina on Yantif, right? We know that you do if the Misa was on Yantif. So why is it that Yantif is treated differently than Shabbos? So, before we see how the Ramban answers that question, Tosfos on Chav Gimel Amid Beis, Dimas Chom Man, the Rambam says that on Yantif, there are no Nihuge Avelos Shibitzina. Let's say somebody dies in Yantif, right? But that's what we talked about yesterday, the Rav's part, that the Rambam's L'shitaso for Shita on Onin, on Aninos. I can't hear you. I'm sorry. Okay. Right? So now. So there's a Tosos on Daf Chav Gimel. And he says the following. Betos, I'll read it to you. Betos Rav Maksha. Demashma de afilu leman de amar de lo nahaga olu leminyan shiva. It's talking about Shabbos. There's an opinion in that there's no Avelos in Shabbos, but you'll see his basic point will be relevant for us. Vimkain beragal nami apagatalo nahaga yehe ola. Just like on Shabbos, there's no Avelos and it's ola. So to Yantif, there's no Avelos, just be ola. But the Gemara says that it's not true. So basically, Tosfos is asking, why don't we say Shabbos is kiregel? In both cases, they're treated in the same way. Umitaritz, This is again Tosus quoting Tosus Arav. Afogav the Shabbos Ola Regel Enu Ola Hov En Avilas Klal Mishum Dechsev Bahen Simcha Shabbos Mu Lo Ksev Simcha Filu Einat Nohagas Klal. In other words, Simcha is what's goreim yantif not to be ola. And therefore, even though there's no nafkamina between them. Now, it might be that you can't extend what Tosa is saying here within a different opinion to what we do, because Tosa is going with an opinion that there's no avilos on Shabbos, and we're going like the opinion that there is avilos b'tzina b'Shabbos, but there's also avilos b'tzina b'moed. But Tosa basically says, even though, practically speaking, there's no difference between them in terms of their nihuge avilos, but the basis for Yontif being different is different than the basis for Shabbos being different. What's the difference? That Yontif is Alts Simcha, and we'll see, Shabbos is Alts Bracha. What does that mean? Sounds like the idea is that on Yontif is a mitzvah Simcha, and Memela Velos and sadness is the opposite. And that's why it can't be Ola. Shabbos, there's a mitzvah Oneg Shabbos. You have to enjoy Shabbos. You have to have nice food and nice wine. But there's no mitzvah Simcha. Simcha is a stira to Avelos. But Oneg is not a stira to Avelos. Because, for example, presumably Oneg Shabbos does apply when one is sitting Shiv on Shabbos. When one's sitting Shiv on Shabbos, it's true they're not Vem Shabbatzina, but okay, they could still have a good food, they could still drink good wine, they could be Mekayim Onik Shabbos. You know, stomach, they're not going to be enjoying Shabbos like they normally would. But fundamentally, it's a Simcha Zestira to Shabbos, and Oneg is not. Now this might relate to a question, a very famous question, which is whether or not there's a mitzvah of Simcha on Shabbos. The Pashto Sosus is saying there's no mitzvah of Simcha on Shabbos, right? Because he says, why is Shabbos different than Yontif? Because on Yontif there's a mitzvah of Simcha. There is a famous Sefrei, which the Beis Yosef actually quotes in Or Chaim, it's in Reish Pei Aleph, that says, B'yom Simchaschem Elu Shabbosos. And there's a Yushalmi that the Rana Megillah quotes that also implies that there might be Simcha on Shabbos. And of course there's Miros. Do you think you could bring rice from Miros? Take for granted that there's Simcha on Shabbos, but the Pashup Shat in Taisus is, and probably the Pashup Shat in the Pshuto Shel Mikra, is that there is no mitzvah Simcha on Shabbos, like there is in Yontif. And that is the basis for the difference. And then Tosus quotes a very interesting Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi mefresh time at the Shabbos day in Avelos Noeg bo mishum dechsev birkas Hashem hi ta'ashir. So why, Taka, don't you have full Avelos on Shabbos, right? Okay? Why don't we do even Varm Sheh Befarhesya? Because it says on Shabbos, Bracha, Birkas Hashem hi tashir v'le Yosef etzev ima, v'Shabbos ksiv be Bracha. So Bracha is opposite of Avelos, and therefore you can't be knowing Avelos on Shabbos, or at least Avelos shiv v'fahesh on Shabbos, right? So again, what we see here is a very fascinating concept, which is that there are two, if you plug it into the way we practice, so why don't you have Avelos Shabbos Farhesi on Yontif? Simcha. Why don't you have Avelos Shabbos Farhesi on Shabbos? Bracha. Halacha L'maisa, that means the same things are Mutter and Asar, but practically, Shabbos is not a stira to Yontif, because Shabbos is not a stira to Avelos, and therefore it's Ola. And Yontif is a stira to Avelos because of Simcha, therefore it's not Ola. And we saw a similar thing in the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef that we quoted yesterday. If you remember, the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef was trying to explain the Sheet of Rabbi Lazar, who said that Atzeres is Shabbos, is like Shabbos, meaning say, since it's only one day and there's no Tashlumin and Shiv, it's like Shabbos. And the Chachamim disagreed. Right, and the question is, why did the Chachamim disagree? And the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef explained that the reason is because Atzeres is among the Shalosh Regalim, and you're chayav to do Aliyas HaRegel, and there's Simcha. And that Mashen Kane, again, the opinion of the Chachamim is not Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, where perhaps there isn't a mitzvah simcha. So we have a similar idea in the Nimukei Yosef. Now, could be a nafkamina is like this. So, is there any nafkamina then between Shabbos and Yantif, right? We said the nafkamina is theoretical, because one is al simcha, one's al bracha, and the nafkamina therefore is, will, could it be ola or not? But practically speaking, in the way one is noeg avelos on Shabbos versus noeg avelos on Yantif, true, one's al simcha, one's al bracha, but is there a practical difference? So, this is where that amazing chiddush of the Eish Das, sorry, Das Eish, quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva, and along similar lines of Chacham Tzvi comes up, right? What is the Das Eish Paskin? That even though Dvarim Shebitzina are noheg on Yantif, but Torah, Talmud Torah is going to be mutter. And the Pesachei Tshuva says, what are you talking about? How could that be? Talmud Torah is Dvarim Shebitzina, Dvarim Shebitzina are noheg on Yantif. He says, no, Simcha is different. Here there's Simcha. So what's he saying? He's saying, yeah, there's taka difference. Since there's a mitzvah simcha on Ragel, so dvarim shebitzina that are so ser simcha are not noeg on Yantif. So there's going to be a big nafkamina between Shabbos and Yantif in terms of dvarim shebitzina. Which one is that? Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is also on Shabbos. Why? Dvarim shebitzina. Talmud Torah is mutter on Yantif. Why? Simcha. So that's one nafkamina. Yes, sir, you had a question.
When you're saying the thing about simcha, and simcha, isn't this one of the examples, the classic examples for the Rav's proof about the existence of kiyum mitzvah? That the kiyum mitzvah for Avelos is lack of simcha, and so if you're high in simcha, it can't be that you have the maisa without the kiyum that's relevant. So it must be that there's no avelos at all, or whatever.
Right, but Adirabba, this doesn't make sense for him. Because why then you shouldn't even have Dvam Shebitzina being noeg on Yantif? In other words, Adirabba, the fact is that the halacha l'maisa is that you're noeg avelos on Yantif, if it's mis on Yantif, because you have nihugi avelos, at least Bitzina, even though there's a mitzvah simcha. Okay, good. So far we've had two approaches to the reason why Shabbos and Yantif is different, right? One is the Rambam. The Rambam says that because of Simcha, it's not Shaykh Avelos at all on Shabbos. Maybe the Rav's part was in the Rambam, but lo alivad hilchasa. The Rambam, who says that Stira Yantif is Simcha, Simcha is a Stira to Avelos, so Mimela, there's no Niyugi Avelos in Yantif at all. Okay, but then, Lididan, who we say there are Niyugi Avelos on Yantif, like the Ramban, but Sinna, just like on Shabbos, why should it be different? So what's the reason why they're different? Answer number one, because yeah, it's true they're Niyugi Avelos, but Sinna on Shabbos and Yantif, but the reason for that split is different, Shabbos and Yantif. Yantif is Al-Tzimcha, Shabbos is Al-Tzibracha. Good. And that's why one is Ola, one's Einu Ola. The Ramban also asked this question, and he says, actually, the difference is totally technical. Actually, it seems like he's saying, there should be no difference whatsoever. There should be no difference. There's no fundamental reason why Shabbos is Ola and Yantif is Einu Ola. There's no fundamental difference at all. What's the basis for the difference? This is how he reads the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi saying like this. This is his quoting of Yerushalmi. Mitarets. Yerushalmi answered. Amar Rabbi Bo. Efshar l'sheva below regel. V'efshar l'sheva below Shabbos. In other words, they were misakein this idea of Shiva. Happens to be that there's no such thing as Shiva without Shabbos. Right? That's what everybody says at Shalom Zachars. There is such a thing as Shiva without Regel. So therefore, we say one is mafsik and one isn't mafsik. Im tomar Shabbos tafsik like avela shiva. Im tomar lo tafsik v'lo tala like a shiva retufim liolam v'lo mishkachas v'afachti chageichem la'avel dum yedechag. Since we have this idea, this asmachta that avelus is like chag and chag is shiva, so we want to make avela shiva. So there's no choice but to say Shabbos is olav eino mafsik. Right? Kevan Shali Olam Einam Afsekas Olehi. So basically, right, I suppose if you were to that's a fundamentally different answer. Shabbos, Yantif are really should be the same. They really should be the same, except that they, when Chazal were Misakin Shiva, so that it could be Shiva, so it could be 7 days, they said Shabbos is Ola Veino Mafsik. Yantif, there was no need to do that, so they said Yantif's Mafsik Veino Ola. Okay, good. So those are the, more theoretical, conceptual points that relate to our simon. Now, in terms of the more practical points, so the Gemara Moed Katan Chaf Daled Amud Aleph has machlokes exactly what one does in terms of Avelos on Shabbos. So Shmuel says, Pachaz, meaning Priya, Chazar Skara, and Zekifa Samita are Chova, meaning to say, you may not observe those Nihugei Avelos on Shabbos. And Natar, meaning Ilasa Sandal, Tashma Shamita, and Rechitza are Rishos. And Rav says, no, Priya Sarosh is also Rishos. This relates to their machlokas about what type of atifa is needed. And that's one opinion in the Gemara. But we don't accept that opinion in the Gemara. We follow Rabbi Yochanan, primarily because we follow Rabbi Yochanan, and this is what the Gemara in Ksubos on Daf Dalet seems to conclude, which is that it's not Rishos, but Chova. Meaning to say, Avelos Shebitzina must be observed, and Avelos Befarhesia may not be observed. That is our psak. The psak of almost all the Rishonim. Good. So, meaning to say, since it's Rishus, it's Chova. Right? Since it's Rishus, it's not Befarhesia, so Mimele it's Chova, they're obligatory on Shabbos, Farm Shebitzina. Okay, so that's the way we paskin. So, therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says, Tashma Shavita and Rechitza, those are Dvarim Shebitzina, they're definitely no Eidan Shabbos. And the Rosh says, even though in the times of the Gemara, Nila Sasandal was in the category of Vatzina, because people didn't walk, would walk barefoot, that was in Bavel, but in Germany, or nowadays, nobody wore, it's probably too cold, or whatever it is, people don't walk around barefoot anymore, so therefore, taking off the shoes is now on the other side. It would be considered Avelos Shebefarhesia. Now, the Gemara also says, Amar Rava, Avel Metayel Beunkeli Betoch Beisa. So what exactly is this Unkeli? So Rashi says it means even on Shabbos he walks around with the Kera Lefanav. Right, Rabbeinu Hanan says it's talking about a type of turban of sorts. The Gaonim say that what this means, and this is the pshat that the Ramban thinks is the correct pshat, and that's lahalacha, is it means it's noeg bitzina, right? It's noeg bitzina, and therefore because afilu pachaz. Now, first of all, you see an interesting thing, which is that, how do you define farhesi and sinna? Like, for who? So it seems the way the Ramban puts it is, the Ramban, or the Beis Yosef, sorry, is always Madgish Rabim. Could be that for other Avelim, or it seems like B'nai Beiso, that's not considered Farhesia. So it's true, your B'nai Abayis are going to notice that the person is walking around looking like an Avel. That's considered Sinah. Farhesia basically means in terms of the Rabim. So what comes out bottom line? So the Ramban basically says that there's three categories, right? Category one, we'll call it category Aleph. Category A. A, B, and C. You'll see why in a second. I'm doing this to confuse you. Okay, category A, Tashmish and Rechitza, those are always Aser. They're always Vam Shebitzina. Under no circumstances are Tashmish and Rechitza ever Mutar and Shabbos. Good. Category B, Zkifa Samita and Chazar Sakara are always Chayev to do on Shabbos. Okay? And then category C, Atifa Sarosh and Sando. So there we say that Betzina, you should be Machmir, you should be knowing those dinim, and Farhesia, you shouldn't, or at least you shouldn't do both of them, maybe you could do one of them. Fine. So those are the three categories, right? The things that are never no egg, the things that are always no egg, and the things that it depends on where you are, the circumstantial ones. Now, how do we understand this distinction, this categorization? So the initial understanding, I think, the simpler understanding, is it's practical, right? Anything that looks like avela shebefar hasya, so that's aser on Shabbos. Anything that you won't get caught, that people won't notice you be knowing avelos, you should do. And that's what he's saying. So some things are always noticeable, some things are never noticeable, and some things, it depends where you are. That's option one. Option two is that it's more fundamental, meaning to say, we are magdir a certain hanhaga as something that is exclusively associated with avelos, so then it's usher on Shabbos. And something that not doing it need not be associated with avelos. Failure to do so is considered tzina. It is chayv on Shabbos. So tashmish and rechitza are always going to be aser, and zkifa samita and chazar sakara are always going to be chayiv. And then we have the third category of things, activities that are sometimes clearly associated with avelos and sometimes not. Now, why would you take that second mahalich? It seems much more complicated. So it would explain the following question, which is, if you take the first mahalich, why is it that a person always has to be machzir the kera on Shabbos and push up the beds? Why don't we say that, okay, if somebody's around, answer that question, don't worry, right? So somebody's around, so then you'll be machzir the kera, and if nobody's around, you'll have it out. If somebody's around, you'll put down the beds, and if nobody's around, you'll put up the opposite. Yeah, you'll flip over the beds. Right? In other words, why don't we go ahead and say, with respect to all things, it depends if people are around or if they're not around? So if you take the first mahalich, you could answer that question. You have to answer each of those questions. So in terms of hachzaras hakera, you would say what the Ramban says, which is that since actually showing the kera is not even minihugi avelos fundamentally, even during the shiva, we're going to talk about that tomorrow actually, but even during the Shiva, it would technically be permitted to not show your Kera. So therefore, there's no reason ever to be makel on it on Shabbos. And what about the beds? So maybe you'd say it's not so practical to putting up the beds and taking them down is like a big asek. Like we saw before, that's where you start when I'm in Cholamala, and therefore it's not shaykh to start putting up the beds every time somebody enters the house and then putting them down, right? So that's a practical reason. Or you could say, like the Rav, that this is a din in a bias and it's not in the other. Or you might say, no, that this is a more fundamental point. Since the acts of kriya, or showing the kara, and kfiya samita are acts that are exclusively associated with avelos. You never do them any other time. So memela, those don't apply in Shabbos. Even if nobody's home, and even if you won't get caught. Atifas HaRosh, we see, isn't. Or might not be. Yishmaelim do it. So that's the question. And if you look at the Rishonim here, I think, I'm not going to go into the details, but I thought that you see a different...
Yeah, but not the Ramban. The Ramban, says
the Ramban does not take this approach. Correct. The Ramban takes the first approach, and that's why he says, by Achzar Sakara, he comes onto the fact that it's not Nihuge Shiva Batzem, and the like. You're correct. The Ramban takes the first approach. And this might relate to a couple of the machlokos Rishonim about, for example, is it mutter? Do we say that it's mutter to not be machzir the kara if you're wearing shoes or the like? Right? There are a couple of machlokos Rishonim, a bunch of detailed machloksim with the Ramban and others throughout the Beis Yosef on a lot of the details here. And they might relate to this question. For example, some Rishonim say that with respect to Atifa, then you could do Atifa Yishma'elis with shoe wearing, but you can't do Atifa Yishma'elis with the Kara showing, right? And the difference is for this reason. Because Atifa Yishmaelis is not fundamentally a exclusive Nihug Avelos. Even if, practically speaking, that's what you do most of the time. So therefore, it could be cancelled out by shoe wearing. Whereas showing the Kara is not that way. Now again, Sal points out correctly, that's not the approach that the Ramban takes. But this might be a Machlokas Rishonim, how you look at this. Yeah?
Does everyone mind repeating the fundamental way of understanding this?
The fundamental way of understanding it is like this. It's not so much the question of whether or not you'll be noticed or whether you won't be noticed. Avelos, any act which is exclusively associated with Avelos, you don't do on Shabbos. Any act that's not exclusively associated with Avelos, so should be done on Shabbos unless it will be noticeable as Avelos. Right?
Which is why I had to.
So that's why Kfiyas Hamita and showing the and Kriya are automatically excluded on Shabbos.
Right.
And we don't say hide it. Right? Or it depends when people are around or the like. Okay. But again, I think the Pashim Shat La'alacha, as is following the Ramban, who doesn't take the fundamental approach. Okay. So,
The Ramban is taking the fundamental approach. He's just saying that for these two reasons, there are technical reasons why you wouldn't require their avelos.
Right, but he doesn't. Other way, he gives technical answers to the question, not fundamental answers to the question. Like, why is it that there's no achzaras? Why is it you always machzir akar on Shabbos? Right? He says that's because it's not a niyog avelos. Right.
But if there was a reason to leave it out, you would leave it out. Because it's part of the
pachaz. Right. That's the point. In other words, but what defines something as pachaz or natar is just the practical, not the fundamental. Will you be discovered or not? No? How did you learn around that?
I don't understand what you're saying.
In theory, everything is going to depend on whether or not you'll be discovered, whether or not it's farhesi or not, right? And the reason why Kara, you turn around on Shabbos the whole time, is as opposed to, let's say, other Nihugim, where we say that if you're in private you do them and if you're public you don't, is because it's not fundamentally a Nihug Shiva. And presumably the reason for Zkifas Hamita is because it's not practical to put it up and down every time people enter and leave your house.
Yeah.
Fine. In terms of Atifa, there's a very interesting comment of the Marival, which is quoted by the Darkei Moshe. The Marival is talking about a quasi-Atifa, meaning to say, he says, the Atifa that people were nohag, all of Shloshim. So what's the din? So even though full Atifa Sarosh, we say, is Avela Shebe Farhesia, but this is not Avela Shebe Farhesia. Why? He gives two reasons. Number one is it's a din in Shloshim, and number two is because you're wearing shoes. Since you're wearing shoes, we're not bothered about the Atifa. Okay? Now when the Ramah in the Shulchan Aruch quotes this Marival, he omits one. I don't remember which one. He omits that it's a din in Shloshim, right? He omits number one. He just says the reason is because you're Yesh Lo Min Alayim V'Raglav. Right, that's exactly the point. In other words, as opposed to what my vial actually says, and the way it's quoted in Darkei Moshe, there he says there's two reasons why this is okay. Number one is it's a din in Shloshim. And therefore, it's not Bechlal of Elisha B'Farhesia. Number two is because it's you're wearing shoes. When the Ramban, the Shulchan Aruch, quotes it, he only mentions that this is okay to be noeg on Shabbos. Why? Because you're wearing shoes. Now the Shach, yeah.
It does say though that, I don't know if you meant it literally, but it does say it because it's a hat that you wear for only thing, you would also wear for children.
Okay, but that's not the reason, right? When he gives you the reason for it, so that's an interesting question. So now, it's an interesting question, but the point is that he presents it a little bit differently than at least he does, or the simple reading of the Marival and Dark Emotion, right? Let's just read it inside. He says, right, Avoktsas Atifa, Shinogan Bektas Makomos Kosloshim, Ein Sarach Lahasir Bishabis, Hoil Vyeshlom Min Alayim Baraglav. In other words, what's the reason why this is Mutar on Shabbos? Hoil Vyeshlom Min Alayim Baraglav. Right? As opposed to the presentation of the Marival. In other words, it sounds like either the Rama is rejecting the Marival, or he's emphasizing the Marival's second point. But the Shach objects. The Shach says, no, that's not what the Marival says. The Marival actually says it's because it's a din in Nihug Shloshim. And the way the Shach understands the Marival, this is the Shach that we referred to already several times before, so now we actually get to see it. The Shach says, very fascinating idea, which is that the din of Avelos Shebefarhesia not being noeg on Shabbos is only legabe Shiva, Dine Shiva, not legabe Dine Shloshim. And therefore, since this is Nihuge Shloshim, I mean, it's not a real din, but it's Alts Minog, it's Nihuge Minog Shloshim, so Memela, it doesn't apply in Shabbos, and the Shach says this is true even for full-fledged Nihuge Shloshim that are even Medina, right? We saw the Shach apply this principle in a couple of places, which Lechora tells you something, A, about the nature of Avelos on Shabbos. It's not the pshat of Avelos on Shabbos that you can't show you're an Avelos. The pshat is you can't show you're in Shiva on Shabbos. That's what's going to shter people, but not Avelos. So it teaches you something about Shabbos, and it teaches you something about the difference between Shiva and Shloshim. Quite fascinating. But again, it doesn't seem like the Rama accepts that. The Rama, therefore, only quotes one of the two reasons, not the other. So it's hard to know for sure, but I think the Pashtus is it's a machlokas. Shach certainly thought he was a machlokas.
So what are they?
Well, the Shach holds of this massive chiddush that which the Rama does not accept. Right, which is why it has to come on to a different reason. The Shach's chiddush is that Nihuge Shloshim are not begeder Avela Shibharhesia, even if they're done in public, and therefore they're permissible on Shabbos. Right, Nafkamina, for example, in terms of changing seats on Shabbos, Shach thought, no problem to change your seat on Shabbos. Everybody's going to notice? Nah, who cares? It's not a din in Shiva. Rama doesn't accept that. He doesn't accept that idea. He thinks in this case the quasi atifa is okay because Yeshlom and Alain Viraglov. Right? What about changing seats on Shabbos? You have to resort to some of the other answers that we said before. If you remember, we had a whole bunch of other answers why it's permissible, or perhaps it's not permissible. It's not permissible if it would be Farhesia. Right? So that is the debate over here. In terms of Talmud Torah, Rabbeinu Tam said, yeah, there's an Isser Talmud Torah on Shabbos, Dvarim Shebetzinah, this is the opinion of most Rishonim. However, the Reed disagreed. The Reed said, yeah, it's true, it's Dvarim Shebetzinah, but it's Mesamech HaSes HaLev, and you have to be Mesamech yourself on Shabbos. Whew. Maybe he holds that there is a mitzvah Simchon Shabbos, like we were clearing about before. Right? Baruch HaShulchan says, no, that's not what it means. It's a little bit Lav Dafka. What it means is that you'd be mitzta'er if you don't learn, and it's aser litza'er atzmo b'Shabbos. And he says everybody agrees to that, even if you're going to go ahead and say there's no mitzvah of Simchon Shabbos, but you can't be mitza'er atzmo b'Shabbos. I don't remember. Okay?
That wasn't pshat in the thing, though, was it?
This is what he says pshat in the Riyas.
It's better to say lopped off a simcha rather like oneg or whatever.
This is, well, we'll get to another possibility in a moment, but that's the way the Aruch HaShulchan reads three. Now, what would Rabbeinu Tam say back to this claim?
Maybe.
No, well, the Das Eish was saying it on Yantif.
Oh, sorry.
Right? Okay, we're going to get to that question. Let's first see what they say, and then we'll try to apply it. So, what would Rabbeinu Tam say back to that time? Again, let's first learn the like Archa Shulchan. So, Archa Shulchan saying, what's the re saying? It's usher to be mitzar yourself on Shabbos. The Mela, you're allowed to learn. Failure to learn is tzar. So what's Rabbeinu Tam going to say back? So maybe he'll say, yeah, Nachanami, you have to be mitzar yourself on Shabbos. Amidu divrei b'makom onik Shabbos. What's the raya? Because we know that Ni'ilas HaSandal does apply in Shabbos Betzina. And remember the Ramban said, what's the whole point of Ni'ilas HaSandal? Right? It's not just chisaron of oneg, but it's letzar atzmo. That's good for the takana. So yeah, taka, usually there's a mitzvah oneg Shabbos. But amidu divrei. And even though not learning Torah would be a bittel oneg Shabbos, still it's asar on Shabbos. Or you could say, nah, this isn't really tsar. It's a chisaron of oneg. Right? Just like the Isser Tashmish, right? So the Tashmish is usually a kim of oneg Shabbos. On Avelos, they say don't have Tashmish, so they said, okay, you shouldn't have oneg Shabbos. So, but it's not tsar. Okay, so different ways to understand why Rabbeinu Tam would disagree with the Ri. But if you really held of the Ri, as understood by the Archa Shulchan, then l'chora, any nihug avelos that would cause you tsar would be asar on Shabbos, even betzina. For example, let's say wearing your shoes on Shabbos, or sorry, not wearing your shoes on Shabbos was going tsar, right? Like the Ramban says. So presumably, if you follow the Ri, as understood by the Archa Shulchan, you also wouldn't do that on Shabbos. You'd have to wear shoes at home on Shabbos, if failure to wear shoes would cause you tzar, because that's the way that's exactly what the Ri is saying according to Archa Shulchan, that anything that's going to cause you tzar is not noeg on Shabbos, even if it is dvarim shebetzina. Now, if you will learn this way, so the Ri is like addressing a big tzaddik, a person. Most people, I dare say, aren't going to mamish be bitzar if they don't learn on Shabbos, especially because they could learn they could learn Moed Katan, right? So they're not going to be bitzar, but that's right. Like you were sort of asking, but that's the way the Archa Shulchan seems to understand the Ri, that the Ri's heter is in a case where it's going to mamish cause tzar. Okay, yeah, maybe it's a lesser level of tzar, but it has to be tzar. It has to be that you're in pain. It doesn't mean you're writhing in pain, okay? It's a low level of pain, but it's pain. That's the threshold, that is the basis of the Ri, according to Archa Shulchan's understanding.
It's not like bothered.
It could be bothered, whatever it is. I don't know what is the shear of tzar, but it has to be begeder tzar, right? No, because you're not allowed to have Tashmish Amita, even though it's a king of Oneg. Right? Oneg is a king, Tashmish Amita, it's Mefurish, is a king of Oneg. So we don't say, this is, I think, what's driving the Archa Shulchan, right? What's driving the Archa Shulchan is that we don't allow you to be Mevatel Avelos L'Shem Oneg Shabbos, Baharaya. It's usher to have Tashmish, even though Tashmish is Oneg Shabbos. So that's why, I think that's sort of why he rereads the Ri to say he means tsar, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense.
Is it possible that Tashmish, I just don't know, like the halachas there, is that as paradigmatic as of Oneg Shabbos? Because like sometimes the woman's a nida, so like it's not.
So then it's usher. You're right. You don't say that you're allowed to have Oneg Shabbos. Another kiyum of Oneg Shabbos is meat. So if you don't have kosher meat, you can't have unkosher meat. Alt Oneg Shabbos, just like you can't be Baal Anida, Alt Oneg Shabbos. Bia, I mean, if it is Oneg, it's always Oneg.
No, but is it like...
In the list of Onegs, in the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, Tashmish Amit is included and Talmud Torah is not. If anything, you see Fakert, right?
Yeah.
Fine. But maybe you could say the Ri a little differently. The Talmud Torah, why is Talmud Torah usher during the week, right? During Avelos, during the week. Pshat is, it's usher because of Simcha. Pekudei Hashem Yishar Misam Chilev. Right? Since you're not allowed to do Simcha Dikah things, Memela, it's Aser. It's not inherently a Nihug Avelos, and that might explain why Dvarim Rayim in terms of Talmud Torah are Mutter. It's not inherently a Nihug Avelos, right? And that's why... very good. So this might be exactly how to relate to how you understand the correspondence between Hanik Domen and Pekudei Hashem Misam Chilev. How do they relate to each other? So we'll get back to Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, that's your question. Why the Rambam left what out? Talmud Torah in general. Okay. So the Ri says that the reason, right, as opposed to, let's say, Tashmish Shamita, which or the other ones, the other Yud Aleph Dvarim, right, the Rambam does stress. So those things are fundamental Nihugei Avelos. If they're fundamentally Nihugei Avelos, so then they apply on Shabbos anytime they're Bitsin. Right? And the fact that it's going to lead to a lack of oneg is irrelevant. But Talmud Torah, the reason, isn't fundamentally a Nihugei Avelos. Talmud Torah is Aser, because Pekudei Hashem Misam Chilev. Oh. Things that are Aser, because they're Misam Chilev, so that doesn't apply on Shabbos. Shabbos is Zman Simcha. Whether or not you think there's a formal mitzvah of Simcha, it doesn't make sense, the Ri says, to apply those types of Nihugei Avelos on Shabbos. Oh. Now, and that's why, you know, it's going to be mutter, according to the Ri, for everybody. Not just the chassid, Sheva Chassidim, that's mitztayer if he doesn't learn Torah. No, everybody could learn Torah on Shabbos, according to the Ri. Why?
Not
according to Aruch Shulchan. Maybe that would be because since Talmud Torah is Asar al Tzimcha, that aspect of Avelos doesn't apply in Shabbos, even if it's technically speaking Bitsina. Now, again, what you're pointing out, Yoni, is correct, which is this is going to bring us back to how you understand the two makoros for Talmud Torah. If you see Talmud Torah is Asar al Tanig Dom, and we modify that. So maybe you would say less like the Ri. The more you emphasize Simcha, the more you'd say like the Ri. But the truth is you don't even have to say that, because it could even be that Hanik Dom is along similar lines. All of Hanik Dom, which might relate to why Shela Shalom is Tali and Minag and the like, right, on Shabbos.
The Hagdorah of Hanik Dom is Simcha.
Right. Would you be able to hold a baby on Shabbos? Right? So these are interesting questions. They get back to the fundamental questions of how you define Avelos, and perhaps there are these two categories of Nihugei Avelos. One way or the other, we don't accept the Ri, though we'll see the Aruch HaShulchan revives him to some degree in just a minute. But we don't accept the Ri, we accept the opinion of almost all Rishonim that say that Talmud Torah is Aser on Shabbos because it's Varm Shabbatzina, with the exception of the case where Talmud Torah would be Farhesia. We'll give some examples of that later, but Savlovsky in his Shirim said so. When he was in Avel, he didn't give the Drasha on Shabbos before Musaf, but he gave the Shir between Mincha and Maariv. He said, why? Rabbi Willig told him, one is Farhesia and one isn't. He never doesn't give the shir between Mincha and Maariv. If he's there, I mean, maybe he won't be there, but if he ever is there, he would never, the shir between Mincha and Maariv, he would never omit that. So for him to be in shul and like just sit there and not give the shir, that's Dvarim Shabbos Farhesia, so he gave that shir on Shabbos. But the drasha, so sometimes Epis, you know, it's a long davening, there's other reasons, so sometimes he skips the drasha. So therefore, so he didn't give the drasha on Shabbos, he thought skipping the drasha would be tzina, but skipping the shir would be for Hesia. He said, still, he gave the drasha on Talmud Torah for Navel. He gave the shir on the topic of whether or not he's allowed to give the shir on Shabbos. But anyway, so it was technically Hilchos Avelos. But anyway.
It's really
a
Hesia, though.
What?
Isn't it really a violation of Hesia?
He's not aware of that anyway.
No, that was his point. He's saying that anyway, he thought he could give the he had to give the shir because of Farhesia, but he gave the shir on Hilchos Avelos, and Hilchos Avelos is in Asherot's Talmud Torah.
It's very clear that's why he's giving the shir.
No, I don't think so. It's a good question. First of all, you know, he probably gives shir on Hilchos Avelos. other times of year, right? It has to be that the hat, this is the shear. The shear was on Hochas Avelos. So she's always on Halacha. It just time was Avos on Hochas Avelos. The point is that it's not the pshat that like the Avel has to hide that he's an Avelos on Shabbos. The pshat is he can't do nihuge Avelos shebefarhesya. Right? You're not going to say that giving a shear on Hochas Avelos is nihuge Avelos shebefarhesya. I'm giving a shear right now in Hochas Avelos, right? So, okay. Now, so some of the interesting practical questions are like this. So one question that comes up is Shnai Mikra. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, Ach l'hashlim parshi Yosef and Matzibor, havi kekoyre es ha-shma umutter. So the Taz points out, not everybody agrees to this. The Aguda says it's aser. And then the Marshal has a pshara, says it's mutter on Shabbos, shu's mano. So if you look on the page of the Shulchan Aruch, you'll actually see there's four shitos on this topic. The Shulchan Aruch says it's mutter, l'chora, even b'chol. That's what the Meir Kasha is on the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says you can do shnayim mikra even b'chol. Okay? Sounds like, though we'll have to define that, it's like a heter of Seder Ayom. The Aguda says it's aser even on Shabbos. Those are the two extremes. The Marshal says it's mutter on Shabbos, to have zmano, and it's like Chovas Hayom. Sounds like from the Marshal that there's no fundamental difference between Shabbos and Chol, though we'll see some people say, no, it's Tully and Farhesia, but the simple reading of the Marshal is not that way. And then if you look at the Beis Hillel, in the back of the Shulchan Aruch, which is quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva, he says that it depends when you're going to finish Avelos. Why? Because you must finish Shnai Mikra by when?
Wednesday.
By Wednesday, okay. Right?
Simchas Torah.
No, so you have to finish by Wednesday, before Wednesday. So Memele says, if your Avelos is going to end on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday morning, then it's also to do Shnai Mikra on Shabbos. But if your Avelos is going to end afterwards, then it's butter. And he says, why does everybody disagree with me? They say you're allowed to do it for the Ikersman. The Ikersman is, let's say, before lunch on Shabbos. But it's unclear exactly where the Ikersman is. But so those are the four opinions, right? Again, opinion number one, Shulchan Aruch, you can do Shnai Mikra regularly, Bein B'chol, Bein B'Shabbos. Opinion number two, Aguda, you can't do it ever on Shabbos. Opinion three is Marshal, Mutter on, sorry, you can't do ever do Shnai Mikra. Opinion number three is Marshal, Mutter on Shabbos, also during the week. And opinion number four, Beis Hillel, it depends when your Avelos is going to finish. And when you look at these discussions, what you see is, which is quite fascinating, is how to understand the Geder L'chora of Seder Hayom, right? Saying Ezum HaKomon, Pashtas, Ezum HaKomon. In other words, it's one thing to apply Seder Yom to Pesukim de Zimra, right? Okay, Pesukim de Zimra is Pesukim in Torah, it's Torah, not Seder Yom. A bigger expansion is to Ezum HaKomon. Because Ezum HaKomon, the Pashup Shad is, it's really Talmud Torah. Why do we pick that? We want you to have Talmud Torah, want everybody to learn Kadshim, and we want to have Mishnah Gemara and Mikra, whatever it is. You could say no. Even Ezum HaKomon is a Kiyum in Mishalma Parmesus Oseinu and turn Ezum HaKomon into Tefillah. Right? That's what it sounds like over here. Initial Ezum HaKomon is, it's all part of Tefillah. Okay? But we won't say that people don't know what it is, because the guy who always says Ezum HaKomon out loud here always asks me questions on Ezum HaKomon. So he's mamish, he's mekayim that. Anyway, so that's the question over here, right? It hinges on those two questions. On those two questions. As he said, some posts can try to shtup it into Farhesia. Maybe it's Farhesia if there's everybody in Shul gets together and reads Shnai Mikra, after davening. So those poskim that are matir al tzfarhesia, they must have had some type of And they say Shabbos, it's mutter for Hesia because the whole congregation gets together and does it. It's like, you know, in some shuls for Pirkei Avos between Pesach and Shavuos. The whole Kahal says Pirkei Avos. So those that are Mekel Alt for Hesia, they must be understanding that that was the Metzias that they were talking about, in which case, you know, I've never been to a shul where they have a Shnai Mikra party after davening. You know, everybody gets together and do the Shnai Mikra. So if you hold that's the reason, it wouldn't be relevant to that. If you hold it's mutter al Seder Hayom, then the Pashtus is, it's talking about a person who every day, you know, after Shachris, they finish Shachris, and they do an Aliyah in Shnai Mikra, or before Shachris, or the like, just like they say Korbanos, and the like. If you hold that it's the chova of Shnai Mikra that sort of turns it into non-regular Talmud Torah, and that's what's matir it. So then,
like the Ramban there, I don't remember this again at all. But there's one sheet that said it's like part of it, just like the Yachid.
Yeah,
like
it's Kriyas HaTorah. Yeah, so that's that. I'm saying so that school of thought says that way, and then you'll start clearing. You'll start clearing. Well, do you follow the Ikerzman, which is, you know, before lunch on Shabbos, or do you say no? We'll follow the B'diavidzman. In other words, the Chiyuv LaHashlem Parshiosav Im HaTzibur is what allows it to be Docha Velos. And Memela, if you could still fulfill the mitzvah, then of course it's going to not be Docha Velos. But if you can't, then it will be. In other words, what you see from all these different opinions, all the four different opinions or more of how you relate to Shnai Mikra, so it hinges on all these questions, right? Hinges on all these questions. Fine. Now, if you would have asked me after reading the page of the Shulchan Aruch and stopping, you know, what's the halacha for Daf Yomi? So I would have said, yeah, of course you can't learn Daf Yomi in Avelos.
You can't.
You can't. Okay. That's what I would have thought. But, if for those of you who learn Karban Nisano, so you would know that's not true.
Is that late?
What?
Is the Karban Nisano is that late?
What do you mean late?
Like late 1800s? Like after the late 1800s?
No, it's just not quoted on the Shulchan Aruch, I'm saying.
He's
Daf Yomi. Oh, no, he's not really talking about Daf Yomi. He's talking about someone who has a regilus to learn Chai Prakim Mishnayas. But I mean, the equivalent. In other words, he has a daily kvios.
Every month you finish Mishnah Mishnayas.
Okay, Gevaldik. So I didn't mean Daf. He's not talking. He doesn't say Daf Yomi. So the question is, so he says, Ra'isi l'acha me'agdolem, shekasav shemisha ragya l'olmod b'chol yom chai prakim mishnayos, yachal l'olmod gam b'shabes shemimei evlo. So, what in the world? If you're going to say it's mutter, it says shemimei mutter b'chol. If you're going to say it's aser, to be aser on Shabbos, what's this business of you could do, you know, you could learn your chai prakim on Shabbos and not during the week? Maybe it seems that he was based off of the Marshal, who says Shnai Mikra is mutter on Shabbos and not during the week. But still, why should that be mutter? Why should it only be mutter on Shabbos? So, the Divrei Sofrim says you have to say that he's being mitzdarif the Ri. Remember we said before, the Ri says you could learn on Shabbos. So we said we don't accept the Ri. So we're somech on the Ri when there's another Tzad Lahakel. And that's what the Aruch HaShulchan more or less does explicitly. The Aruch HaShulchan also quotes this psak, and he says, yeah, we're going to allow the guy to learn Daf Yomi when you're mitzdareif all sorts of different things. What are we going to do? We're going to bring back all these different opinions that we didn't ever quote Lahalacha until now and bring them back. So we're going to put together the Ri. With what? With the Yerushalmi that says that Mishu Laut Achara Torah it's mutter. Okay? Anyone who learns Daf Yomi, Mistam, if you can't learn Daf Yomi, is going to go crazy. And then we're going to also bring back the Shita that says that if it's like the new beginning of a Sugya, it's mutter. Right? So at least if you're learning Daf Yomi, it's always going to be the new Sugya each day. You don't have time to shtel on things. And put that all together in a big kula and say, it's mutter to learn daf yomi on Shabbos, or any type of kvios that you regularly have. Kain, what the Marshal says for Shnai Mikra is being mutter on Shabbos and not being mutter for the rest of the week. So that's the psak. Lemaisa, I don't think we accept this. I think that someone who wants to learn on Shabbos when they're not Bel should probably learn like Katan. It's not so bad. Okay.
Would you be makel to learn like Hilchos Avelos Be'iyam?
Can we say Kedai who the Archa Shochan to be so well the Archa Shochan says that the Archa Shochan says you could learn Zvachim also if it's a Daf Yomi, but yeah Mistamla you could be makel on that. Fine. I don't
know.
Like
we were on Erev Tisha
B'Av after Look, the Isser of learning Erev Tisha B'Av Achar Chatzos is a lot more kal than the Isser of learning on Shabbos, right, during Avelos. One's Asim Medina de Gemara.
Shnayim Mikra, do we Asim Medina?
It depends on how you do Shnayim Mikra.
Could that be also
Mikra? I don't know. I don't know what the minute is. No, it was Tisha B'Av, you shouldn't do Shnayim Mikra. Okay. What about getting an aliyah? So here too, again, we apply the basic principle, it depends, is it farhesia or tzina? So the Shulchan Aruch says, if they call you up, not to go up would be farhesia, so you have to go up and get the aliyah. But the gabbai shouldn't call up an avel, because why should he get an aliyah? There's no reason, he doesn't get an aliyah every week. What if he does get an aliyah every week? So that's the story of Rabbeinu Tam. The gabbai didn't know this, so he didn't call up Rabbeinu Tam, he went up anyway. Why? Rabbeinu Tam got shlishi every Shabbos. So not for Rabbeinu Tam to be in Shul, not to get shlishi, that would be avel for Asya. So then he would. And the post can extend this to other cases. Anytime somebody would always get an aliyah under these circumstances. They had a baby girl, they're having a bris mila. That's actually a machlokas in the poskim. Or whatever it is, yartzeit. Anytime it would be farhesya not to get an aliyah. So even though, again, the post can do debate this, but Lamaisa then we paskin it's okay to get an aliyah. The Beis Yosef writes, if there's only one coin in the shul, it's better that he leave the shul. So, because if he's there, it would be farhesia not to get called up. So the Chassam Sofer says that depends. It's quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva, but depends. If the minhag is that Kohanim generally leave the shul so that Yisraelim could get Rishon, then it would be okay for him to do it on Shabbos. But if the minhag is that Kohanim never leave, the case for most of our shoals. So then, he doesn't have to leave, and if he's the only coin in shoal, so we'll get an aliyah, and he'll be okay, because that's a farhesia. Fine.
You only can cut them silver, right?
Yeah. Okay. What? Of that point. Okay. Now, the Pesachei Tshuva and the like discuss over here, when do you have to stop being Noheg Nihugei Avelos, at least Shiva Farhesia and Erev Shabbos? We talked about this in the last Siman, so we're not going to go back over it, but you see over here the Pesachei Tshuva yells at those who stop at Chatzos. As we said, that's totally wrong. The Pesachei Tshuva says, as we mentioned, that you shouldn't even take if the Avel is going to be davening for the Amud Mincha, he shouldn't take off his shoes or shouldn't put his shoes back on really until after Mincha's over. But the Badi Shulchan is, as we mentioned, quotes Mekilim. The Archa Shulchan also sounds like you could be Mekel from Paga Mincha onwards. We mentioned earlier when we discussed mirrors, whether or not I have to uncover the mirrors will probably depend on the reason why mirrors are covered. If you think it's more out version of Fiasamita, then you should have to uncover them on Shabbos. If you think that the reason the mirrors are covered is because people are davening in the Beis Avol, they shouldn't face the mirror, then there's no reason to uncover them on Shabbos. But he said, even if you hold that they are al tzavelus, maybe there's a tzad l'hakel, because anyway, it's not a din. As we mentioned, some postim say that the din of iser avelus shefarasti on Shabbos only applies to things that are really a din, not just a minhag. Very practical question comes up over here that the Pesachei Teshuvah deals with, is, are you allowed to make an early Shabbos? Right? This comes up all the time in the summer. An avel, can you make an early Shabbos? So some say, no, he can't make an early Shabbos. Why? Because by making early Shabbos, he's throwing off his avelos earlier than necessary. Okay, so there's a mitzvah Tosefa Shabbos, but you're not allowed to go earlier than that just to, you know, be mevatel the mitzvah of avelos. Avelos is a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah sasei. It's not right to sort of throw off the mitzvah sasei of avelos to start Shabbos early. But others say it's okay if that's what everybody does. In other words, in a community where everybody starts Shabbos, there's just one show, everybody starts Shabbos at 7 o'clock, so then it's okay, you could start Shabbos along with everybody else. They sound like, though, maybe in a community that where there are two minhagim, you know, there's an early Shabbos and a late Shabbos, maybe you should start, you don't have to do it. But they, in the end of the day, the Pesachei Teshuvah doesn't go so far. But he says something that's very strange. He says, if there's no minyan, meaning to say you live in a place without a minyan, so therefore you're deciding when you're going to start Shabbos, it's okay to start a little early, but not very early. And he says it in a very strange way. He quotes this from the Shivas Tzion. Anyone know who wrote the Shivas Tzion? The son of the Nodeb Yehuda. He's actually quoted all the time in the Nodeb Yehudas. Anyway, so he said something, and I looked it up because I didn't understand what he means. And I'll tell you what I think, but I'll read it to you anyway, so you'll see if maybe you have a better shot. When is it okay to start Shabbos early, if that's what the Tzibor does? Aval im avel dar b'makom she'ein sham kahal, he lives in the forest, ein sham minyan asar l'spal b'tzibor, so everybody's making their own thing. Vade she'ein avel rishay l'hakdim l'kabel alav Shabbos ba'od hayom gadol! You shouldn't start Shabbos really early. Could they lift us atzmo medine avelos to get out of avelos? Vavshu noig b'chol Shabbos o'shana l'hosif harbei michol o'shabbos. He always is knowing to start Shabbos really early. Afiloch b'er Shabbos v'toch avelos. Eino v'shay l'hashem y'alav chiyuv dine avelos. You shouldn't do it. Kodim zman mincha k'tana. Don't start Shabbos before mincha k'tana. Shu b'eshaw z'melch z'kodim alayla. V'eino y'chol akal alav kidush Shabbos kodim l'chim. So he's saying, you know what? It's not right on avelos when you're sitting Shiva to start Shabbos before super early, like before Mincha Ketana. Now, I don't know what he's talking about. The whole year you're not allowed to start Shabbos so early. When's the earliest you could start Shabbos? What's the earliest you can accomplish Shabbos? Plaga Mincha, right? I didn't know what he's saying, and the Pesachei Teshuvah quotes it. You shouldn't start Shabbos Bodi Yom Gadol. No, you should wait till after Mincha Ketana. What does he mean you should wait till after Mincha Ketana? Nobody anyway could start Shabbos until Plaga Mincha. So what in the world is he talking about?
Plag is after Mincha Ketana, right?
Yeah, plag is halfway between Mincha Ketana and Shkia. An hour and 15 minutes later. So what in the world is he talking about? So I assume what he must mean is like this. If you're going to start Shabbos early, let's say Mincha Ketana, so you have to start ending your Nihuge Avelos already a little bit before. You know, it might take an hour or two to do Skifa Samita, to change your shoes, to uncover all the mirrors, I don't know, whatever it is that you're going to do to get ready for Shabbos. And that's not right. That's not right. So you shouldn't start Shabbos so early, which is going to push your ending the Avelos even earlier. But as long as you don't have to start preparing for Mincha Ketana, in other words, you don't have to start ending your, you're not going to start your preparations for Shabbos that end Avelos until after Mincha Ketana, then it's mutter to make an early Shabbos, right? That's not so extreme. So if that's what he's saying, then it would come out that, well, that if a person, Bizman Azeh, wants to make an early Shabbos at Plag, at the earliest possible Shabbos, they want to make a Plag Shabbos, that would be okay, as long as they don't start getting ready before Mincha Ketana. Which isn't particularly hard, because what do you have to do to get ready? Okay, you put on your Shabbos clothing, you change your shoes, it doesn't take an hour and 15 minutes. We don't have to do anyway, it's Kifa Samita, which sounded like that was the big Asek. So therefore, halach l'maisa, if a person wants to make an early Shabbos, I think it's okay in light of even in keeping with what this Binyan Tzion, Shivas Tzion, and Pesachei Tshuva says. Okay, we're going on too long. So that's it. We're not going to talk any more about Siman Taf, even though there's a lot of other stuff because we have to go on. Siman Taf Aleph. We'll also do this very quickly. Chol Hamoed. So I'm not going to go through all of Taf Aleph, though it's a lot of very interesting things, just a couple of interesting nekudos. So one of the interesting things is the halacha we have over here is that you're not allowed to have, let's say, hespedim on Chol Hamoed, except for Talmud Chacham. Right? Why can you have hespedim on Chol Hamoed, Simcha, and the like? So very interesting. So why are we mako for Talmud Chacham? Right? Why should a Talmud Chacham be an exception? Right? Why would we violate the halacha, Simchas Yantif, for a Talmud Chacham? No, it's the opposite.
So why is that?
Oh, that's right. So why do we say that for Talmud Chacham it's an exception? So maybe it's like we saw before. Remember we saw before that usually it's usur to have bechia more than 3 days, but for Talmud Chacham 30 days and hesped for a year. And along similar lines over here, if you look at the levush, what's the reason why we're not maspidim biyamim elu, meaning on Chol Hamoed or whatever the other happy days are? He says, "Shalol lasiach daita meavodas Hashem, she'ena shchina shora, ela mitoch simcha v'levush." So the pshat is that when we're meikel for Talmud Chacham, that is avodas Hashem. In other words, it's not for the kavod of the Talmud Chacham that we're meikel; it's because of kavod haTorah. It's because of avodas Hashem. If it was for the person, so then we wouldn't be meikel. But it's for the Torah, and that's the basis for the kula. One way or the other, the Magen Avraham writes.
What's the lashon again that you just read?
I'm expanding what he says. What he says is shelo lasiach daita meavodas Hashem she'ena shchina shor el mitoch simcha.
But all quote amazing the word is obviously.
So it is, but so what's the chiluk? The chiluk is it kavod Adam or kavod haTorah?
I mean, Pashas, the tochen of the Hespedim will be all about the great stuff he did. Or
yeah, but maybe. So maybe that's true. Maybe it's for the person. But that's true in every Hesped. In other words, every Hesped, I think that's the goal.
So what's more, I still don't get why Kavod HaTorah is more about a Hashem.
So what I'm saying is that Kavod, we're not doche the simcha of a regel for the Kavod of a person. But we are dochet for the kavod of Torah. Perhaps. You could say what you're saying. Anyway, the Magen Avraham says, L'maisa Siman, at the end of Siman, Tafkuf Mem Zayin, that Bizmanenu, we don't have a Talmud Chacham L'Inyan Zeh. What's a Talmud Chacham for this? Someone Sholem Oso B'chol Halacha B'chol Makom Afilu Maseches Kala, the Omer. So, a very interesting Shaila. Maybe. The Magen Avraham said, okay, you're right, you're saying, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Mestama, you could ask him a shaila in Maseches Kala. I think even a perish on Sefer on Maseches Kala. and he could answer you without hesitation. Okay, Magen Avraham, as it were. This is a very interesting discussion when we say things like there's no Talmud Chacham Ledin Yinzeh and we don't. But anyway, that's what the Magen Avraham says over there. But the poskim say that that's only for Chol Hamoed. But on Rosh Chodesh, then we're makel even for a Talmud Chacham bizman hazeh, because the iser hesped on Rosh Chodesh is lower than it is on Chol Hamoed. Now, this brings us to a very interesting question, which is the non-hesped. I'm sure all of you have been to levayas on like Rosh Chodesh or Nisan or Chodesh Nisan or the like, where people say that, well, hayos, that it's Chodesh Nisan, we're not allowed to give a hesped, but, and then they give a hesped. So I always thought that seemed like a little bit silly. But the truth is, I'm not saying it's right. So we'll talk about that. I'm not saying it's right. But it's not actually, as when I started looking into it, as crazy as it sounds. Though I will point out that Rabbi Willig's father I don't remember what day it was. I don't remember if it was because it was Nisan or if it was Rosh Chodesh or what, whatever it was. But the Levaya for his father was on a day that we don't do Hespedim. And his father was a Talmud Chacham. It's Smicha from Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. And Rabbi Willa got up and he said, my father was medaktik in halacha, and today is the day we don't give Hespedim, so there will not be Hespedim. That was it. I said some Tehillim, and that was the whole thing. No kulas. And he was someone who was possibly roi for a kula. It was Talmud Chacham. No cutting corners. Anyway, the Ramah writes over here in our Siman that we don't say Tzedek Adin on all the Yamim that we say, don't say Tachnun. Right? And even, let's say, Erev Shabbos after Chatzos and the like. So, if you look at the Magen Avraham in Taf Kuf Mem Zayin, Sif Katan Ches, over there, where the Ramah says that Tzedek Hadin talks about that, so he says like this: Ayin Yoredeya Simin Taf Gimel De Mashma K'she'ein Omrim Alamei Tzedek Hadin Ein Omrim Shvacho Shel Meis De Hanami Margil HaHesped K'shemazkir Shvacho V'imkein Aser Lidro Shalav El L'chacham Befanev. In other words, what is the Magen Avraham saying? The Magen Avraham saying, if you shouldn't be marbe b'shvacho shel meis, because it might cause a hesped. So what we do, we in America, in most funerals where they just all they do is shvacho shel meis, right? They get up and they talk about how wonderful the meis was. That's not a hesped. Because you see that. Because the Magen Avraham says, on a day that you shouldn't say a hesped, also, you shouldn't be marbe b'shvacho shel meis, because it's margil. It might lead to a hesped. But it's not a hesped. Now, he still says you shouldn't do it. But when people are saying, you're not allowed to give a hesped today, but I'm going to be marbe b'shvacho shel meis, what they're saying is, this isn't a hesped. What we do is not really hespedim. They're something else. What do? Most of the time, what we do is we're being mashpiach hasameis. It's a nice thing to do also, but it's not really the type of hesped that the Gemara, that the Shulchan Aruch is talking about. It's something else. It's called marbe b'shvachos hameis.
You know what I mean?
Now the Magen Avraham still says you shouldn't do it because it might lead to hesped. But it's not hesped. It's not what's formally usher. Now, it could be that if that's the case, and there's already a basis for this in the Mishnah Berurah and the Shaar Tzion, that it's going to then depend on how bad hesped really is. Right? The Shulchan Aruch and Siman Taf Chaf in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh says, Mechaber says, Omrim Tzedek Hadin V'Kadosh B'Rosh Chodesh. The Ramah writes, V'ein Noagin Kein. Mishnah Berurah writes, they know again Cain. Shemar gil lehesped. Fine. Because we're achronim, shafilu l'chacham b'fanav, they know again b'rosh chodesh lomar tzedakadin, shutchina eladarshin alav, imu bar hachiv, omim kadesh. Says the Shaar Tzion, on that Mishnah Berurah, putzachai Adam, and then he says, v'davka al-rosh chodesh, avo b'shar yamim she'en omim b'am tachanan, the Medina ain't a hesped aser bahan ain't lahachmir b'zeh. So it seems, and the Divrei Sofrim makes this argument, I think, that maybe there's a difference between cases where there's a full-fledged iser hesped, where then we also say you shouldn't be marbe b'shvacho, and cases where there isn't really a full-fledged iser hesped, in which case, if hesped, though we aren't masbid, you don't have to also be machmir in things that are maybe lide hesped, in which case to be marbe b'shvacho would be mutter. So what would that mean? So to be machmir on Rosh Chodesh, so that makes sense. But other days that we don't say tachnun, like Lag Ba'omer, or Tu B'Av, or Tu B'Shvat, As opposed to Rosh Chodesh or Hanukkah or Purim or Nisan. So then maybe there's some more room for leniency. Okay. A couple of other quick points. So in terms of Kriya, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siv Beis that we don't do Kriya on Chol HaMoed, except if you're chayv to do Kriya for such a person. We're going to talk about who you're chayv to do Kriya for in the next over the next couple of days. But only if you're chayv. So if you look at the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Mem, Sif Lamed Aleph, it says in the Ramah that therefore you're only Korea al Aviv Imo Falshar Mesim Korin Lachar HaMoed. And the Ramah writes, if there's no minhag, you should be Korea al Kulam, but still not on extra ones. So I just remember the Rav was Nifter on Chol HaMoed Kiyadua. So if Aaron Lichtenstein, who I think considers himself even a Talmud Muvak, wasn't Korea because of this din. Because the only time we allow for Kriya on Chol HaMoed is when it's a...
Rosh Chodesh. Same thing. Rav Lichtenstein passed away on Rosh Chodesh.
No. Rosh Chodesh is not like this.
You're allowed to do it.
Yeah. Well, just Chol HaMoed. Okay. Fine. Anyway.
You might have torn also all scuttle on the door.
Whatever it is. But the point is, there might have been several reasons why he would normally have torn Kriya. But because of this din, he didn't. Okay. Okay, what about Purim? So as you saw in the Shulchan Aruch, there are three opinions on Purim, what the din is. The Yeshiltos and others say Purim is Keregel. After all, it says Yom Mishteh V'Simcha, and it's Dino Keregel. The Rambam says the opposite. Also, this is Rabbeinu Gershom. He says Purim is like Chol. Okay, we don't do Hespedim, but in terms of Avelos, it's like Chol. And then the Rosh, the Maharam, and this is what the Shulchan Aruch says over here, is that both Yud Dalet and Tesvav are like Shabbos. It's Ola, it's Eino Mafsik, and Yom Mis'avel B'Tzina, but not B'Farhesia. The Shach quotes it to Marshal, Paskind, it's like Chol. The Bach quotes it as well. And in Or Chaim, the Shulchan Aruch says that you should be Mis'avel Legamre, like the Rambam, not like over here. And the Ramah says like, over there says like the Mechaber over here. And the question is, how do you deal with the steer in Shulchan Aruch's? There are different theories. The Drisha says maybe that's talking about Avelos Yom Rishon, that's Deraisa, that's very Dochak, as the Nosei Kalim point out. So we have different opinions. Halach L'mais, at least for Ashkenazim, I think we paskin that it's Dino Keshabbos, and therefore both days, and therefore we're Noeg Avelos B'Tzina, not for Hasya. I paid a Shiva call, I think, to Rav Shechter on Shushan Purim, and if I recall, he was sitting on a chair wearing shoes. Because of this psak. Now, in terms of going to shul, so it says that here too there's a machlokas, but we paskin that you're allowed to go to Kriyas HaMegillah, but not go to Ma'ariv. Meaning to say there should be a Shiva minyan for Ma'ariv at the base of Avel, but then you should go to the shul for Rovam Hadras Melech. Now, it could be, though, that we wouldn't have to do that. And that's because the Elie Rabba points out that psak was said in the olden days when they daven Marv early. So since they daven Marv before Purim started, so then in Mela, they shouldn't daven in the Avel shouldn't go to the Beis HaKnesses, you should stay at home. They should daven at the house and then go to Shul. But it could be, nowadays, where we generally don't daven Marv before Purim until this Zman, right? Drives everybody crazy, they're fasting so long. But we do that, so then... So then maybe some poskim say this halacha wouldn't apply. In terms of leaving the house, so again, we would say that you shouldn't leave the house except for a good reason, because it's for Dvarim Shel Rishus, the Avil shouldn't leave. Okay, we already talked about Shlach Manos. Simen Tav Beis. Shmuel Krova, Shmuel Rechoka, so Ein Shem. Is there anything we need to talk about here? We'll talk about one interesting thing. One very fascinating shiloh, tzifchas. So we do something. So that is like this. What's the halacha? Right, we know the halacha is that if you hear within 30 days, so then you're noig aveilus, that's called shmor krova, and if you hear after 30 days, it's called shmor rechoka. So the question is, what's the pshat in these 30 days? Are these the 30 days of aveilus, right? Like, we know one of the stages in aveilus is the shloshim, and basically, if you hear during the shloshim, then you're still shaykh to the aveilus, and therefore you sit shiva. And if you hear after the shloshim, you're not shaykh to the aveilus, and therefore you don't sit shiva. Or no, it's a shir, happens to be it's also shloshim, but it has nothing to do with the shloshim. So l'chora, this is a machlokas rishonim, and there are several manifestations of this. So one halacha is like this. We know that regel counts for, we have our own type of special math when it comes to avelos and shloshim, right? So if somebody dies and is buried on Erev Yantif, let's say on Erev Sukkos, so Erev Sukkos is 7 days, and then Sukkos is 7 days, and then Shmini Atzeres is 7 days, so you're only, it's up to day 22 when you're done, right? So let's say a person has a shmua 10 days after Sukkos, right? So it's less than 30 days from the time that the guy died and was buried, but it's after the shloshim. So what's the halacha in that case? So the Baal Amor, the Ramban, Rabbein Yerucham, see they agree, right? The Rabbein Yerucham, the Shulchan Aruch, all paskin in that case, that there would be Nihugi Avelos, it would be like a shmua krova. You follow 30 days, 30 actual days, not 30 Avelos days. On the other hand, the Mardechai, the Rivam, and other Rishonim say no, that Ein HaRegel Ola L'misha Lo Nag Avelos Kodem Lo, and Kol Shekein. So what's the shaila? What's the pshat in this machlokas? So l'chor, that's the pshat. In other words, the first opinion holds that this is 30 days. If you find out within 30 days, so then what's the halacha? You're noig aveilus. And there's no magical days for this, since you're within 30 days of the misa kvura. So then, there's a din of shmukrova. And we could even add that the din of regel counting for seven is also only, at least with respect to shiva, doesn't happen automatically either, right? Regel's only mevatel shiva if you actually know heik avelos kodem regel. Otherwise, it isn't. So basically, what the mainstream view is, in this case, is that we say that this isn't totally in the shloshim. You're right, the shloshim might be finished. The people that found out about it earlier are all finished shloshim, they're all shaving and the like. But for this guy who didn't find out, since it's within 30 days, this din of 30 days is not the din of shloshim. You also have the opposite nafkamina in the other direction, which is, do you follow kfura or misa? What's that? So the Bach and the Drisha in the name of the Marshal, and it's also the view of the Taz, says the minion of Shloshim for Shmua follows Misa and not Kvura. Right? Meaning to say, here we have the opposite case. You have, let's imagine, for example, that the Kvura was 3 days after the Misa. So everybody, all the family members, are still in 29 days after the Kvura. All the family members are still in their shloshim, right? And this guy finds out. So, according to this group of poskim, he would treat it as a shmur rechoka, even though the family is still in the shloshim. Why? Because we follow Misa, right? So it's the opposite nafkamina of before. Before we said, even though everybody's finished their shloshim, because it's 20 days, but the Avela started on Erev Sukkos, so even though everybody's finished Shloshim, it's going to have the din of Shlomo Krova. and here it's the reverse. But it's the same logic. Are the shloshim talui in avelus, in the shloshim of avelus, or are they talui in 30 days? So why does the Bach and the Drish and the Marshal and the Taz all say you follow Yom HaMisa? Right? Because it has nothing to do with the shloshim of avelus. Now, here the Nekudas HaKasef disagrees. Now, it's an interesting Nekudas HaKasef. It's a Nekudas HaKasef on the Shach. I'm not sure if the Shach wrote it or his son wrote it, but he says about this group, Ein Devrayim, which he quotes in the Shach, but not in the Nekudas HaKasef, so it could be changed his mind. Ein Devrayim Muchrachim. V'gam Tema, the Marshal said this is the view of Rabbeinu Yerucham. He says Rabbeinu Yerucham actually says the opposite. So the Nekudas HaKasef thinks, no, maybe you do follow Kavura and not Misa. Okay. Now, this question, let's go back to the main version of the question, which is the question of that the Rishonim discussed explicitly, which is the question of, again, the guy who was buried on Erev Sukkos, and he had a Shmua 10 days after Sukkos, right? What's the din? And we saw that most Rishonim say that it still is a din of Shmua Krova. So this reminded me of a different question that we had earlier where we seem to say the opposite. And I think to be Miyashev, a very fascinating yesod comes out. If you remember, we had the following halacha. Let's say somebody was not noig avelos because he was sick. Right? Somebody was sick, or there was a plague in the town, or whatever it is. He wasn't noig avelos, even though he knew about the Misa. But it was bonus. Didn't do anything wrong. So we saw a group of achronim, quoted by the Pisrei Tshuva, the Nachla Shiv, and others, all say that, of course, if he gets better, within shloshim, he would still be noig avelos. Good. Now, what about in that situation, and the regel came? Meaning to say like this. Somebody dies 10 days before Pesach. And Nebuch, his relative, is sick. He can't sit Shiva. And then, Pesach comes, and Yontif made him feel much better. Now, after Pesach's over, he's healthy enough, he's ready to sit Shiva. But it's within 30 days, but the regel came, right? So the question is, does he sit Shiva or not? So I would have thought that since we paskin, that when it comes to Shmur Krova, the Shloshim Yom is talui not in the magical countings, but 30 actual days. And the idea is that when you're within 30 days of the Misa Kvura, so then you're shayach to Avelos. And therefore, even though the regel came in the interim, he would still have a din of Shmur Krov as long as it's within 30 days. So I would have thought the same thing with this guy, right? This guy, even though the regel came, we would say that he has to sit Shiva because it's still within 30 days, and the regel shouldn't be mafsik because he wasn't noig avelos at all, and therefore he should have to sit Shiva after Pesach. But how did the Pisrei Tshuva and the Nachla Shiva paskin? The other way. They said what? That the avelos, that the regel is mevatel avelos, even though you weren't knowing avelos at all, because it was machmas ones. So how do you reconcile? That was, by the way, if you want to look it up, it's in Shin Tzadi Vav Sif Katan Gimel in the Pisrei Tshuva. So how do you reconcile that? So the pshat is very interesting, right? The pshat is that this din, that if you're not knowing avelos, you still have to be noig avelos as long as it's within the shloshim, right? It's not the same din of Shmur Krova at all. Not at all. Not at all. They sound very similar, right? The din of Shmur Krova, if you find out within 30 days, you're sit Shiva. If you were noig avelos at the beginning when you find out the guy died and you're within Shiva, you're noig avelos. They sound like they're the same halacha, but they're totally different. They're totally different. What's the pshat? The pshat is very simple. That the din of Shmur Krova, you don't know about it. There's not even a theoretical Chiv Avelos. The Chiv Avelos is contingent upon the Avel being aware of the Avelos, right? That's why the halacha is, you saw today, that somebody doesn't know that they lost a relative, You don't have to tell them. And not only that, we don't say, oh no, I'm causing them to be mevatel mitzvah. No, don't have to tell them. And not only that, but you can invite them to your chasana. Right? Tell them, come to my party. You know, really, he should be sitting shiva now. But since he doesn't know, he's not chayet. He's not, he's mufka. You don't have to tell him, invite him to your chasana. No problem. Right? That's, we say that for avivimo, maybe you should tell him so he could say kaddish. But otherwise, you don't tell him. Right? So what's the pshat? The pshat is that the guy in Shmuel Krova is chayev in avelos when he finds out. So therefore, we say if it says within 30 days, he has to do it. And we don't regal lomal of lomoid. You actually follow 30 days, not what the theoretical shloshim would have been. Mashenke, this guy, he knew about the avelos. It's true, he happened not to be knowing avelos, but he knew about the avelos. He was shaykh to avelos. So the avelos goes on without you, even if you're not knowing avelos. The only reason why you actually, if you weren't knowing avelos, and you are still within shloshim, you're knowing avelos later, is the Ravid said, shelo yechoti niskar. Right? Again, the fact that we come on to shelo yechoti niskar shows us that that's not fundamentally atz avelos. Because when you know about avelos, it goes on without you. When you don't know about avelos, it doesn't even start. But we know about avelos, it goes on without you. But if you were chote, so we say, oh, no, you should still do it anyway. It's like a type of tashlumin almost. Shelo yechoti niskar. And we even say this, I would have thought that that din of shelo yechoti niskar doesn't apply then at all if you're ones, right? But we saw the Achronim say anyway it applies even if you're ones. But still, rego would be mevatel that, because that, you're shaykh to the avelos, right? You just weren't knowing avelos because you were sick. But you're shaykh to the avelos. Since you're shaykh to the avelos, then regel's mevatlo, even if you're not knowing avelos. Now, but one second, if you're not knowing avelos, then you have to do it after Shiva. So then there might be a further difference between whether you find out during Shiva or after Shiva. Anyway, this gets very complicated, but it's very fascinating. It's very fascinating. Yeah?
I'm feeling a lot of the example I have right now, but just off the top of my head, we've seen examples like this before. So just like for this Hans case of this, something, we had this something, you were looking at COVID within 30, and you didn't know exactly if it was within 30,
right.
So after 30 you found out that it was within 30, are you knowing? So that case which is also upon us, right? And yet he said it should be no worse than the situation of that same sin.
Even after 30? So then I forgot about that. Okay, I have to look that up. So you're saying that according to the Taz, you have a full Shiva after 30, even though you weren't knowing avelos at all? Right, okay, that's another example of this.
Exactly.
Oh, you're saying it's a Raya. Okay, good. Okay, good. Geshmak.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot, but we had this many, examples.
Okay. So we mentioned that idea. I'll just to clarify that point. So we said before that if somebody, you know that they should be an avel, but they don't know, so you don't have to tell them. You can't lie. You're a shekher tirchak, but you don't have to tell them. And you shouldn't tell them, it sounds like, though it's a machlokas, but you shouldn't tell them. But now the Darkei Moshe says an interesting thing. He says, "V'tzarch lo'odio b'remez ba'alma." So I thought originally that meant that you should tell him, you just shouldn't tell him outright. But if you look at the Hemshech, it's clear that's not what he means. What he means to say is that if you have to tell him, like for example, he asks, or it's aviv v'imo, and therefore we say you should be told so you could say kaddish. So then you should tell him b'remez and not b'hadiyah. And that's what the Taz says, like you should tell him at b'lashon d'mishtam v'treyanpi. And there's a story in the Gemara where you see that. Okay, well, we need to talk about a little now, relating to the end of the Siman. This comes up in Taf Gimel in the Mechaber and Taf Beis in the Ramah. We'll do it now, is yart sites. No, that's his point. In other words, he said that we say maybe for girls you don't have to tell them, but boys you do, because of Kaddish. Okay, so the minhag of fasting for a yard site. So this is from the Kolbo and the Maharam, and the Rama says mitzvah l'sanos yom shemesbo aviv o imo. So what's the reason for this? So I would have always assumed that's like a schus leilu nishmasam. If you look at the levush, though, the levush says the reason is because of the sakana, meaning to say that the day that a parent died is rea maslei, and because of that sakana, in other words, it's not for the mesim, it's because of the chayim. We'll
that's
talk.
Why you do avinus also, which is mashma in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch.
Because of Rea Masle.
Meaning the Cherev Shaluf.
Right, okay,
that's why
maybe.
Yeah,
so you're saying that relates to even regular Averos. Every Avel has to see that as though he's in danger and it comes back. Good. We'll see possibly other reasons in a moment and possible Nafkaminas. So the Truma Sadashan says that's Yom HaMisa and not the Yom HaKfura. The Rama says that that's generally true, that when is the Yartzeit? When we talk about Yartzeit, we're generally talking about fasting, but even if somebody doesn't fast, and many people nowadays don't fast, it's with respect to other things like saying Kaddish and giving tzedakah and throwing a party, whatever you happen to do, making a siyum. So the Rama says, yeah, that's generally true, the Truma Sadashin, that you follow Yom Misa, but if somebody was around for the, was present at the Kvura, but was not present at the Misa, so then he's Mis'ana B'Yom Kvura. Right? So what's the pshat in that? Why does the Rama say, like, you know, you should be Mis'ana if you are there for the Yom Misa, so then if you were there for the Misa, then the Yartzeit's the Misa. If you were not there for both the Misa and the Kfura, or you were present both the Misa and the Kfura, then the Yartzeit is Yom Misa. But if you were there for the Kfura, not there for the Misa, which is common actually, so then the Yartzeit is going to be the Yom Kfura, not the Yom Misa. So I thought, based off of the reason actually that the Truma Sadashin says, this might not be the psak of the Truma Sadashin, but the reason of the Truma Sadashin. The Truma Sadashin says that Yom Kfura is Yom HaSachol VeAninos VeTzaras HaLev, and the reason why you're Mis'aneh on the Yartzeit is to remember that pain that you experienced then. Right? That's what he says. It's to remember, and that it's to remember the pain that you experienced. So if you were present, the Rama says, for the Misa and the Kvura, what is the more painful moment? The Misa. But if you are present for the Kvura and not the Misa, what's the most penetrating, painful moment? It's probably the Kvura, seeing the parent go down. So therefore, the Yartzeit is the Yom Kvura. Because whatever is the most painful day, the Yartzeit is to commemorate that experience of pain. The way that Divrei Sofrim explained the Truma Sadashin is that since this was a day that he experienced a tremendous tzara, so k'day l'sororo b'tshuva, he should remember that tzara at least once a year. You're not supposed to think about it every day of the year. You're supposed to live a happy life. But once a year you should remember that incredible tzara that you experienced, and it should be a day of tshuva and the like, a hemshech, like you pointed out, of the avelos. So what day are you mamshech the avelos? Once a year, your mamshech, there's a quasi hemshech of the avelos. That's what the Yartzeit is. A shtickel hemshech of the avelos. That's why some niyugi avelos might apply. So that's which day do you pick? The Rama says the most powerful day, which is going to be Yom Misa generally, but if you're present at the Kvura, not the Misa, it's then the Yom Kvura. Now, do we accept that Rama? So the Shach and the Levush, they say, no. It's because, exactly. Since the reason that we fast is because Rea Mazlei. So what's which day is Rea Mazlei? That's the Misa, Yom Misa. So therefore, it's always Yom HaMisa. And that seems to be the more common practice of, which is to treat Yartzeit always as Yom Misa, not like the Rama. In fact, the Shach quotes those that say, according to Rama, it's going to mamish be losis go to do. Half the siblings are going to have Yartzeit on Monday, and the other half are going to have it on Wednesday, and derecher derecher noam, b'chol nasi vosteh shalom. We throw in all of the psukim And therefore we say everybody should fast dafka on the Yom HaMisa, and I think that's the commonly accepted practice. So we treat, generally speaking, the Yahrzeit as the Yom HaMisa, regardless of whether you were present. Now the question, though, is whether the first year is different. Why would the first year be different? So the Taz and the Shach both quote the Masis Ben Yamin, who says that the first year, the Yahrzeit is going to be the Yom HaKfura. Why? Because otherwise, you could have a situation where the Yahrzeit will take place prior to the conclusion of the Yud Beis Chodesh. Why? Let's say a person was buried a day or two after the Kvura, after the Misa. So the Avelus ends 12 months after the Kvura. So the Yahrzeit will be before the end of the Avelus, and the person's going to think that the Avelus ends with the Yahrzeit, because usually it does, and that's a problem. He's going to end his Avelus too early, and therefore the Masis Ben Yamin says, for the first year, we should follow the Yom HaKvura, and in subsequent years, follow Yom HaMisa, and that will solve that problem. Now, you're right. This is like an exception to the rule to prevent a michshol. It's like his own zera. His own zera, people get messed up if you follow the Yom HaMisa the first year. They would get confused. They wouldn't know that Avelos continues afterwards. And therefore, you know, people go ahead and the Yahrzeit, the first Yahrzeit, they make a memory, an askara. You see it all the time. And then they still have to do Avelos for a couple more days. People would be so confused. So that's why first year, we sort of commemorate the Yahrzeit on the inappropriate day. That's what the Masis Ben Yamin says. Now the Taz disagrees with it, and he says, I actually think you're totally off. When do you count Yud Beis Chodesh? That's actually from Yom HaMisa. It's true. Shiva is counted from Kvura, and it's true Shloshim is counted from Kvura, but Yud Beis Chodesh is counted from the Misa. Right? What's the Raya? Let's say somebody goes ahead and for six months after the guy died, he finds out that his father died. So we say, even though it's a Shmur Rechoka, there's only one day of Avelos, one moment of Avelos, but one Nihug of Avelos, but still, the Dine Yud Beis Chodesh continue, right? They continue. So if you're going to say, like the Masis Ben Yamin, so he should have Yud Beis Chodesh from 6 months after the Kvura, that's crazy. No, of course Yud Beis Chodesh always goes from Yom HaMisa. That's what the Taz holds. The Nekudas HaKesef says, no, of course it's true in that crazy case. But normally, of course Yud Beis Chodesh goes from the Kvura, not from the Misa. Why? Because what's the whole idea of Yud Beis Chodesh? Where do we come up with Yud Beis Chodesh? Where's 12 months? What's the significance of that? It's because Dinam Shel Rishayim is 12 months. They're in Gehenim for 12 months, up to 12 months. That's the idea of the Nihug Avelos of Kibud Avayim for 12 months. Ah, so when does that din start? Now, you don't go to Gehenim before you're buried. After Kfura. So Memela, the Yud Beis Chodesh, should count from the Kfura. So therefore, the Shach says that... So one machlokas here. We'll start with that. One machlokas is when does Yud Beis Chodesh end, right? Misa or Kfura? Guys, you have to know these halachos. You'll get more questions about Yahrzeit shailas than you're going to get with any other shaila. Which, you know, it's a lot of times funny in halacha that, like, the most common questions are in, like, non-halachos. I know. Mm-hmm. What about Hakama Samat Seva, and what about the Yahrzeit, and what about this and that? Not to say they're not halachos, but they're not Dina de Gemara. Anyway, so, according to the Taz, when does Yud Beis Chodesh end? From 12 months from Misa. According to the Shach, when does Yud Beis Chodesh end? 12 months from the Kfura. Okay, so fine.
Are there
anything
like
the Masis Ben Yamin? The Masis Ben Yamin is the Shach's like the Masis Ben Yamin in that respect. Yeah. Now, what about the other Chiddush of the Masis Ben Yamin? So, Chiddush 1 of the Masis Ben Yamin, the Shach definitely accepts, namely that the Yud Beis Chodesh is counted from the Kfura, not from the Misa. But what about the other Chiddushes, like his Gzeira, that the first year you should follow Avelos from the Yahrzeit of the first year should be on the yard site, the anniversary of the Yom HaKfura, not the anniversary of the Yom HaMisa. So here, here we say the following. Here the Shach says it depends. If the Yom HaMisa was 3 or 4 days after the Kfura, is very far away from the Kfura, then he accepts the Masas Binyamin. But if he's just buried on the next day, or the following day,